It's the state of Victorian trots racing and the people who drive the sport. You're one out, one back.
Yes, welcome to the latest edition of One Out, One Back for Harness Racing Victoria. You're with Andrew Hughes in the RSN 927 studios as we broadcast across the state. Lots of harness and trotting news to come. Let's go to the HRV studios first up, though, and Cody Winnell and Toby McKinnon join us. How are you both?
G'day, Andrew. Going well. Toby, you've been everywhere but here this week.
Yeah, I've had a big week this week on the road up at Hamilton earlier in the week, and they've got a big club forum on Sunday at 1 o'clock, so anyone in the Hamilton district's invited down to the club for their forum.
Into the breaking news, Andrew, with Toby there. Straight into 1 o'clock Hamilton for the club forum on Sunday.
And last night I was up at Stall for a committee meeting. Went on for about 4 hours and just dragged myself back this morning for
that
this
sounds exciting.
Show.
So what will happen at the club forum? You've held these before, haven't you?
Yeah, it's a bit of an information session, a bit of a chance for Hamilton's been going really well over the last 6 months. They've really got a lot of momentum, the club, and they just want to harness that momentum and grow the club even further into the future.
Geez, they've produced some harness stars down there at Hamilton, haven't they?
Yeah, and I'm sitting right next to probably the best of them all, Cody Winnell.
Now, who's on the show this morning, Cody? We've got some special guests during the program.
Yeah, I stand the man, Cameron. He's going to join us, of course, after his Group 1 success with Savannah JJ. We catch up with Maddie Craven. He stables up and about, and he's got Kowalski Analysis running in the feature race this weekend. Donna Castle's a bit later on. She'll be talking about a cause very close to her heart in the McGrath Foundation fundraising day. You caught up with her, Andrew. Looking forward to that as well. And we'll also speak with a young driver, Shannon O'Sullivan, who's absolutely flying.
It's RSN 927's One Out, One Back.
But off the top of the show, here's Cody Winnell taking the sprint lane to the latest news.
Pistol Abbey, Savannah JJ, Jackson Meehan, is that a bid with a Group 1 winners on a big Saturday night of racing at Tabcorp Park, Melton. Andrew, an action-packed Ben Stud, Queen of the Pacific, went the way of the Emma Stewart-trained Pistol Abbey, the four-year-old mare, benefiting from a pretty hot speed early before producing a trademark electrifying burst late for driver David Moran. Meanwhile, veteran trainer, as mentioned, Stan Cameron, he combined with reinsman Jimmy Herbertson to notch their first Group 1 success in the Schweppes Australasian Trotting Championship with Savannah JJ. Good news for Soho Tribeca fans this week. The six-year-old making a successful return at the Tabcorp Park Melton Trials on Tuesday for trainer driver Michael Stanley. It has been a long road back for the Grand Circuit star, who hasn't raced since July 2018 due to injury. Stanley said Soho Tribeca would be aimed at the upcoming Delray National Italian Cup as a potential comeback race. Bray Raceway Ballarat hosts the John Slack Memorial Trotters Cup and the Colin and Heather Holloway three-year-old classic tomorrow night. The Slack sees the return of Illawong Armstrong for Jodie Quinlan, while Fast Class stars McLovin and Savannah JJ will lock horns once again. Emma Stewart puts the polish on all six runners in the Holloway Classic, which is a fairly rare feat. Talented two-year-old without the two will be out to extend his unbeaten run to three for trainer-driver Gavin Lang in Saturday night's Group 2 Empire Stallions Vicbred Platinum Homegrown Classic at Melton. The son of Courage Under Fire has been ultra-impressive winning so far at Kilmore and Ballarat. And up at Monangle in New South Wales, the Group 2 New South Wales three-year-old trot final this coming Saturday night looks a Victorian domination with six of the eight runners trained out of the Garden State. Returning star Emerald Stride has been well backed in early markets with tab.com.au from $3.40 into $2.90, while the favourite is Zebek for Ben or Bron.
It's RSN 927's One Out, One Back.
Yes, the latest in harness racing news and special guests, and joining us now, Cody, on the line to talk about the recent Australasian Trotting Championship night is Stan Cameron. He's on the program now.
Stan, welcome to One Out, One Back. Congratulations on your big win.
Thanks very much.
Mate, how big was that for you, the thrill of winning the Schweppes Australasian Trotting Championship, and also with Jimmy Herbertson in the bike?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was a boost that, you know, I had no idea that he could run the whole journey out. Like, I thought if he got a bit of cover, he would have been right, but I was right up to the end. I was right up on my toes, I can tell you.
He sort of just landed in front, James, didn't he? And then I think he rated the horse to perfection. It was a class one drive by 19-year-old to chalk up his first Group 1 win stand. And at the top of the straight, he said the horse lifted. How were you feeling at the top of the straight? Did you think you were going to win stand?
No. I started to panic then. But, you know, the horse just... just kept on fighting and fighting right to the end, yeah.
The horse is going super, just winning for fun at the moment, it seems, Stan. But you're going around tomorrow night in the John Slack Memorial Cup at the Trotters Cup at Ballarat. They tell me that this is a race that you'd especially love to win.
Yes. I had a fair bit to do with John years ago, and I had a trotter that I got my licence on years and years ago. Anyhow, John used to always get a ride down to the start on the side of the cart. Anyhow, he used to always say, you need to do this, need to do that. And I picked up a fair few pointers off him over the years. He's a great bloke.
Gee, how special would it be then to be able to win the race named in his honour?
Yeah. Well, I've tried a couple of times. once or twice, I think. We've had the horse in, but... We run a place and that, but we never weren't able to crack it, yeah.
Stan, he keeps getting better with age, and you made a point about that on Saturday night. Now, I'm going to take you down the track of a horse called Night Pistol. He won 40 races from the age 9, 10 and 11, and he went to Sweden. Are you harbouring dreams that this horse could become the next Night Pistol?
No pressure there either, Stan.
I think just... a race at a time. I don't, you never know. If he doesn't have any injuries, he should run on for a little bit longer. But, you just don't know from one day to the next what's going to happen. That's the thing with me, yeah.
I sort of figured you'd be a one-week-at-a-time sort of fella. The other thing I noticed, and I just want to just double-check with you, you said that your track is 340 metres that you worked the horse on?
Well, the son reckons it's bigger than that, but it's on a... it could be a little bit bigger, but it wouldn't be much.
So when you work the horse in the morning, about how many laps would you do?
Oh, 10, 12, all depends. The other day we worked him up to about 13 laps for that big long race. But if I go back to a sprint race, he'll only get 6 or 7 laps. But I'll sprint him a couple of times in that. It's got a hill in it, not much, but it's just a grade. It's just enough to kick him up, and he really flies up that, I can tell you.
Yeah, I bet you he would. And Stan, before we let you go, I should ask about Neil McCallum. He's he was the regular driver, of course, before he had an accident. How's Neil going at the moment? Have you been in touch with him, and has he been talking to you about this horse?
I haven't talked to him for about a week now, but I've got to get back to him today. That was the race that Neil wanted to win, was that Group 1. Yeah, that was what he's, That's what he wanted, was that one, yeah. But I think he's getting a little bit better, but it's going to take a while, He's pretty sore, I think. Yeah.
No, well, the industry certainly thinking of Neil, that's for sure, and we're wishing him a speedy recovery. Hey, good luck at Ballarat tomorrow night in the Slack Memorial Trotters Cup. Hope Savannah JJ can keep on winning for you, Stan.
No worries. Thank you.
Stan Cameron joining us there. Shortly we'll have on the line... our next guest, Matthew Craven. I know you're going to talk about the Queen of the Pacific, Cody, but how honest was Stan when you asked him if he thought his horse was going to win? He said no at the top of the straight, and he, in fact, was panicking.
Yeah,
quite straightforward, old Stan.
Pretty straightforward and conservative there in terms of keeping a lid on it. But I think a lot of the punters were probably thinking this horse is going that well that that he's going to kick on really strong at the finish here.
He did. He really lifted to the challenge, and there was nothing going to run past him on the night. The horse just wouldn't let it happen. A great result for Stan Cameron and James Herbertson.
We had Jimmy Herbertson, of course, on the show last week too, and he was talking about how much of a thrill it would be to win a Group 1 race. So that was a tremendous result for young Jimmy as well. On the Queen of the Pacific, the Ben Stud Queen of the Pacific, Toby, Pistol Abbey blew them away at really big odds. I tell you what, the race was it was run to suit, wasn't it, with that hot early speed, a 27.9 first quarter. Pistol Abbey was just tracking into it beautifully most of that last lap, and gee, she's got an explosive burst, doesn't she, at the finish.
I'll go the trumpet on your behalf, Cody. Now, Andrew, hello. Just understand, Cody tipped this horse before the race and I paid $52.40. He's wearing a suit that's come, obviously, today. He's upgraded the suit. He's had a very good collect on tipping on Saturday night with a $52 winner in Pistol.
Wow. Why is there a hole in my arm then? What's that about? No, look, it was a great result, a great win, but I couldn't believe the odds. That's the point of this one. I think I marked it about $13. If you go back through her form, through the Make Mine Cullen and the Angelique Toby, and we watched these races earlier, she'd been going really well. She's been knocking on the door.
She had been knocking on the door. She's only a four-year-old mare. She's got plenty of time left, and she's almost one pace. She just keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming. As they weakened in the last quarter was 28.5, which was considerably slower than the third quarter. She just ate them up in that, with the way she just kept staying. So her Burning Love was excellent. Makes Every Sense was excellent. Our Step Up was getting home well late. Tell Me Tales had a tough run. It was a classic race, really. Kept going.
It was a great race to watch, and Soho Burning Love, which you mentioned there, absolutely massive in defeat, but all honours with Pistol Abbey in the Ben Stud Queen of the Pacific.
It's RSN 927's One Out, One Back.
Well, now we look ahead to Saturday night, of course, and the features coming up. In just a moment, Matthew Craven will take our call, Cody, as we look ahead to Melton this weekend.
Yeah, can't wait for the Group 2 Empire Stallions Vicbred Platinum Homegrown Classic 2-year-old Colts and Geldings Final. That's quite a race name, that one. Toby, this is a good field of in-form young talented horses.
Yeah, you mentioned without the two earlier, but Pandering for Emma Stewart, Kowalski Analysis, Maddie Craven, and Miragon Emma Stewart, and even Beale Street. It's a very strong lineup, and it'll be a great little race. This $50,000 race with plenty of chances.
And we've got, of course, $50,000 up for grabs as part of the Vicbred series. There's $10 million up for grabs each year to the Vicbred only horses, and this is part of that great campaign. We've got Matt Craven on the line. He's the trainer of Kowalski Analysis, who's one of the serious players this weekend, it must be said, in this $50,000 race. Matty, thanks for joining us on One Out, One Back.
No worries at all, Cody.
Hey, Kowalski Analysis, that last start at Ballarat, I thought he'd sweep on by Miragon and Pandering at the finish there, but you just couldn't quite get enough room to get past, and this horse is flying.
It's debatable, but we were sort of a little bit held up for room, and was quite tight to the run to the finish, but we were quite pleased with his run, that's for sure.
What about his run two starts back at Terang? They don't often win from back three back the pegs in that sort of race, do they? But he's obviously got a withering burst on him at the finish.
Yeah, right from say, Dodge showed that he's got very good speed. To come from three fence at Terang and win, and even, into the straight, he took him a little bit to straighten up and balance. But once he did, he sprinted quite sharp. He'll need to be doing that and more on Saturday night to be competitive.
Matthew, your cousin Jason Lee will take the drive, and It's going to be tricky at the start to find a position. Will the horse have a bit of gate speed, do you think, and get across? Will that be the plan, or are you going to go back early?
You don't really have to tell Jace what to do. I'm sure he'll work it out, but the plan will be just to be positive at the start and see where we end up. Unfortunately, with John outside Pandering again, which is, is not ideal, he does have good gate speed, and we'll just have to leave it up to Jace to see what happens in the first 50.
And Kowalski Analysis, of course, is raced by the Lewis family, who is a family you've had a fair bit to do with, Matty. It'd be a real thrill to get another feature race win for them.
Yeah, they're terrific supporters. They've bred a lot of very nice horses over the years, and we've had a lot of luck together, and done more so than a bet on punt. David's trusting me with this fella, and hopefully we can do a nice job. As a rule, I don't think a lot of their horses have been two-year-olds, but this guy's just come along, and he's just kept stepping up, which has been very pleasing so far. Won't be easy by any means on Saturday night, but hopefully we'll run another credible race.
Matty, if the big cat was here, he'd ask a question about the Can't Refuse. How's Can't Refuse? Where's he at? What's he aiming for?
Well,
who's the big cat for the listeners?
Matt Lepard.
Of course it is.
Yeah, look, he's had a little freshen up after the Horsham Cup. At this stage, intentions are to head towards the Lensmith Mall. He seems on track at the moment. We'll just have to see how he progresses over the next couple of weeks, and just depending on what sort of lead-up run we can have and whether he's going to gain a start in a race like that.
Matty, love your work, love your approach and how you're always willing to come on One Out, One Back. Thanks for joining us and good luck at the weekend.
Thanks very much, Cody. Thanks, One Back.
Cheers, Matt.
It's RSN 927's One Out, One Back.
Matt Craven there, and shortly another guest joins us on the program. The history behind Big Cat as a nickname for your friend?
Matt Lepard. So the
or
leopard.
Leopard.
Yes.
There you go.
The leopard. So.
The leopard, so the Big Cat.
He's quite an identity in the harness racing world, and he's a part owner in Can't Refuse and a very proud and happy man to be part of the Can't Refuse team.
All right, in a moment, Shannon O'Sullivan will take our call, just getting him up on the program. So if you want to talk more about Big Cats or Leopards or Cody?
Might talk more about, we'll leave the nicknames alone right there, I would have thought Tobes. We might talk about Shannon, she's about to join us. She's having a great run since she's come back from an enforced holiday, Tobe. Very talented driver.
Horses run for her. She's got a great affinity with several horses. A horse called Dan Man that won a couple of nights ago at Cranbourne. She's had great success with that horse, in particular at Cranbourne. It's won a couple of times at value. I'm talking through my pocket there. And she got back to Tarang. I'm interested in the trip from Heathcote to Tarang. I don't even know if there's such a road from Heathcote to Tarang.
No, there wouldn't be. Was it Archer in the Melbourne Cup and used to wander through the forest and walk down? And that's probably how Shannon got there.
Well, you can ask her herself because Shannon joins you on the program now.
G'day, Shannon. Welcome to One Out, One Back.
Hey, how you going?
Going great. Toby just had a question there about your getting down to Tarang, I think it was, a few weeks back. Is there a road from Heathcote to Tarang?
No. Not really.
How long did it take you, Shannon? It's a big effort to go all the way to Tarang for one or two drives and come back. That'd be a 9-10 hour return trip, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think altogether, Dad and I counted probably 13 hours on the road that day.
Wow.
Because we come from Maryborough because Dad had a drive there and went to Tarang from there and then Tarang to back home. So it was about a 3.5 hour trip home. So, yeah, so a long trip, but worth it.
Commitment pays off, that's for sure. And Shannon, you've had a great return since your enforced holiday. You had a little spell there, but you've had two winners in just the last sort of 6 days. So let's hope that sort of run can continue.
Yeah, hopefully. And it's been good to get back and being a bit consistent this time around. So just enjoying it and was really keen to get back in after my 4 weeks. And, yeah.
And just a little bit about your background, Shannon. You're obviously the daughter of Rothica Medal recipient Jim O'Sullivan. What's harness racing always meant to you growing up, and how enjoyable is it to be out there on the track competing?
It's really enjoyable, just with Dad, and it's just a family thing, really. Like, I do it because I get to spend time with my dad and my family, like, every day, morning and, you know, night, and just enjoy it and meet new people. And, yeah, it's just a passion. I love the horse, and love going around and meeting new people, really, and just enjoying it.
And you train the horses at Heathcote. Is that on private track, or are you part of the little club there at Heathcote?
At the club, yeah. We have a jog track at home, and then we travel, which is only like 2 minutes down the road to the Heathcote, fast working track.
Where there's about, what, three or four trainers come out of that facility and, you know, your
so
race.
So it's a good little community, is it so?
Great little community facility where they share the facility there at Heathcote, which would be little known about. But there'd be how many horses work there a day, Shannon, 20?
I say around 20, yeah. There's a few people that work on there. I think about like 5 or 6 maybe trainers work there. So, yeah. So, there's a few horses that go around each day there. So, no, it's really good. Good setup.
And whilst you're driving winners out on the harness track, you're also working your way through university at the moment, Shannon?
Yes, I'm in my second year. I'm actually currently at uni at the moment. Second year of exercise science. So it's a bit hard and difficult, but hopefully it's worth it again.
And what does exercise science sort of mean? What sort of avenues does that open up?
It's sort of like physiotherapy in a way. Like, I get to prescribe exercise, do clients and help them get fitter and, yeah, that sort of thing. And, yeah, just hopefully I'll be able to do it. You know, yeah, so it's really good. It's an exciting avenue. It's probably a bit different from the horses, but, yeah, no, I've always enjoyed exercise, so, yeah.
It feels somewhat related.
It is, yeah. You can sort of apply it to the horses in some aspects. I know there's like an equine-based physiotherapy. I think it's pretty cool to maybe get into that later on. Yeah, so it's cool.
Even the training methods that athletes take would be very similar to how horses are trained as well, with the where you add load each week as you build them up, et cetera, Shannon. So there's some things that will cross over there for you.
Toby sounds like an expert in this area too. This is, of course, an ultra-marathon runner is Toby.
Yeah, there's definitely aspects of it. Like, you've got interval training and your heat work, like, that applies to, you know, what the athletes do and all that, and high-intensity training. So, yeah, there's lots of things that you can apply to the horses, really, and I think a lot of people are doing that now and trying to find new ways to train horses and, yeah, get them at their top.
Shannon, before we let you go, what's one of your biggest goals that you've got in harness racing? Have you got one thing above all else that you'd like to achieve?
Well, I'm starting off small. I hope to get 20 winners for this season. So that was my goal for this season, and I'm nearly there. But probably just to, I think, win maybe a group race eventually and get up there. And, yeah, so that's probably about it, but not too high.
No, well, you've made the right start, that's for sure. You're absolutely kicking goals. So keep at it. Well done, and thanks for coming on One Out, One Back this morning.
Thank you very much.
It's RSN 927's One Out, One Back.
Shannon O'Sullivan, is that true about Toby with ultramarathons, or is that a gag?
No, that's true. That is true. Really? Is that what you call it, Toby? Or is it mountain marathons?
Oh, no, they're ultramarathons. Ultra. So I've done, I don't know, nearly 30 marathons through my career, Andrew. Up to 100 kilometres. And no, I haven't raced against zebra crossing either.
Andrew, I want to I want to do one half marathon one day to start. I did the Run for Kids, and that was a tough, grueling test for me, and then Toby came and just blew that out of the water when I brought up that I'd love to do a half marathon.
Well, I heard you saying to someone recently, Cody, that you're looking forward to the big Melbourne Marathon, and you wanted to beat your time of 3 hours and 15 minutes from last year before you got tired of it and you changed the channel. Now,
that is some crisp work from you, Andrew.
Well, there's another gag too. I've got another one, actually. It was your doctor told you to run 7Ks a day. Yes. And then you rang him on Sunday night and say, what do I do now? I'm 42Ks from home. All right. Now, we're about to hear from Donna Carr.
Where's that little drum beat?
All right, anyway. Now, Donna Castles, we're about to hear from Donna, then we'll come back. In all seriousness, this is an amazing story. We'll play some of it in just a moment. But this race meeting at Cobram, the McGrath Foundation, and the fact that after being involved in it, that Donna herself would be diagnosed with breast cancer, it's a very, very amazing story, inspirational at times too.
I cannot speak highly enough of the work that Donna's put into this area, raising awareness and funds for breast cancer through the McGrath Foundation, and this day at Cobram, ringing around for prizes, Toby, for the raffle, and rounding up the girls to be ambassadors for the day. It's just been legendary work, and you're right, Andrew, it is it's a cause that's close to her heart, because Donna's also a survivor of breast cancer. So, look, yeah, she's absolutely to be admired, the work she's put in. But also, she would say too, and we'll hear that shortly, that you know, she now gets a lot of support. It's really embraced this day, isn't it, Toby?
There's two rewards that she's getting from this, and between her and the club. And there's a monetary reward. Last year, they raised $26,000 to take the total to $125,000-ish.
Amazing, yeah.
That's the awareness up there, and the awareness that it grows in the community about going out and getting checked as soon as you feel that there may be an issue.
Yep.
I've been to the last 2 years. Unfortunately, I can't make it this Sunday, but there's a candle lighting ceremony and a number of things throughout the day which are really moving tributes to.
All right, let's hear from Donna Castles.
I'm good, thank you. Yourself?
Doing okay, and tell us about what's become a terrific fundraiser, a terrific thing each year, not only at Cobram on the Sunday meeting, but in the weeks leading up to it. And, of course, it has a very much a special cause close to your heart, of course, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, it does. You know, we've just sorted all the girls that are actually invited into the race on the McGrath Day, which is the 26th next Sunday week. We wear our pink pants through the month of May just to give a little bit more exposure about breast cancer and really to make aware that these girls are out there selling raffle tickets actually to raise funds for the McGrath Foundation for the breast care nurses.
Can I ask how a small club like Cobram was decided to be the venue? Obviously lots of clubs racing there, but how did the association come to be at Cobram each year?
Well, Cobram actually had this initiated. They created this day themselves, actually. And I got invited to drive in the race, and I just sort of thought to myself, well, if it's a day that we're going to raise funds, let's make it a day where people notice. So the first year we went into it, I actually organised the Pink Pants. So everyone sitting in a pub or a club would look up and think, hey, why are these girls wearing pink pants? Which then made it quite significant that it was for the McGrath Foundation. And since then, we've been doing that, and we've created now three sets of colours that we've designed for the McGrath Foundation, which the girls wear throughout the day. So it's good. It's creating awareness in people that sort of probably wouldn't take notice to it until all of a sudden they see girls in pink and ask questions and make everyone aware of what's going on.
Now on the day, is there a feature race, or all those involved are the ones that are given the pink pants to wear? Is that correct?
Yep, we have a ladies' invitation drivers race, which is a C1 race, which is great. And HRV have up to a $10,000 race, which is fantastic. So we just hope all trainers out there that, you know, will support us girls and put their horses in the race so that we could have a 12-horse field.
So who are the 12 drivers, and how do you come up with, perhaps the question is not how you come up with the 12th, but who do you tell who's 13th they're not getting a gig?
Well, Cobram, again, look at the big picture. They like to support who support them. And they came up with the theory of the girls that drive there regularly at Cobram are the girls that they would like to support for the support that they've put into Cobram Harness Racing. So the 12 girls, which are like Rita Burnett, Monty Burnett, Juanita Breen, Rebecca Bartley, Ellen Bartley, Ellen Tormey, Tanya Ward, myself, Brooke McPherson. She's first emergency this year. She hasn't been driving a lot, but she's always there, or she has horses always there. Abby Turnbull, she's one of our new heads that's been popped into the thing as well. So, gosh, I hope I haven't forgotten anyone, but I probably have. But, yeah, it's just, you know, it's a thank you back from Cobram to say, girls, for the whole year, please come and drive in the race. And
Donna Castles, and she also, so much effort has put into this day, so it's a great fun day as well. If you're listening to that part of the state, I want to make the trip. There's mechanical bull rides, slides, sulky relays. There's a lot of things happening, so it's a big festive occasion, so it sounds like a lot of fun as well. And you can buy those raffle tickets via HRV as well if you can't get there. Cody, we're wrapping it up shortly.
We are. Firstly, before we go, the Maori's Idol Trophy Series update, Toby. You've got some news on that.
Yeah, two races to go, and Fratellino's 7 points in front of Belts, who's not engaged in the Ballarat Cup, so officially, we can confirm that Fratellino will be the winner of the Mary's Idol Trophy.
Well done. Sean McNulty and Michelle Phillips and the team, they'll be thrilled about that. Any other news, Toby, or a best bet?
I can give you a best bet.
It's always good.
One of the last 2 weeks. I'm very keen on Delightful Mia at Melton, race 7, number 3. The pole horse has drawn barrier 1 on 6 occasions and never led. Delightful Mia should get an easy lead. The favourite in the race will be Major Times. It's going to get a tricky run. I think Delightful Me is a great chance each way, particularly like a 1x5 sort of bet.
Beautiful. We'll be well cashed up for Sunday.
Terrific. Good luck with that. Cody and Toby will speak to you next week.
Thanks, gents.
Want to hear One Out, One Back again? Head to iTunes, our Facebook page, and the podcast page at rsn.net.au.